Good morning. Thank you for joining our weekly tourism industry call. I'm Tamara Pigott, your tourism director here in Lee County. Commissioner Hammond was unable to join us today, so on his behalf, I'd like to thank you for joining in on today's call. First up for us this morning, we have Carol Obermeyer from the Lee County Port Authority, who is going to give us a bit of an air service update. So, Carol, friendly reminder, star two to unmute yourself.
Hey, Tam. Hey, everybody. How are you? It's Carol.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Just wanted to give you a quick little nuggets here. The Eurowings Discover, starting on Tuesday, is now back to three times a week to Frankfurt. It will be Tuesday, Friday, and Saturdays. So that's good news for all of us. We also have a couple new cities, starting with Breeze Airlines. Right now, they do Las Vegas and Charleston, and they will be adding May 17th new Hartford flights, weekly flights to Hartford, starting May 17th, and also new Providence flights starting July 13th, and that will be weekly as well. So there'll be up to four destinations out of RSW. I think that's it for now as far as the bigger the announcements. And again, our air service update is on our website. You can go there, and we update this information monthly. So I'd be happy to take any calls or questions if anybody has any questions.
All right. Does anybody have any questions for Carol this morning? Remember, you have to unmute yourself, star two to unmute yourself. It's exciting, Carol, to get some of those Northeast flights back in place, right? I know that those are popular vacationer destinations, so it's good to see them coming back, and I'm sure Hartford does a lot of business travel as well, so that's good news.
No, we were super excited about it, and we had some really good meetings with all our carriers last week in Chicago, and they are just chomping at the bit for this winter. So we could have some more news and more updates. So thank
all
you,
right.
Everybody.
All right. Well, they're being quiet this morning. You never know.
I know.
if you can hang around until the end, do. But if we get any questions and you have to drop off, we'll get them to you, Carol. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm here. I'll be here. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up for us this morning is John Lai, who is going to give us an update on the FRLA Disaster Relief Fund. John, same story. Star two to unmute yourself, sir.
Good morning, Tam. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Wonderful. Good morning. Thanks so much for having me and for continuing to do this. I know it's really important. So for those of you who don't know, I'm John Lyon with the Florida Restaurant Lodging Association, also oversee the San Juan Captiva Chamber of Commerce. But for this call, we're going to wear the FRLA hat today. As I'm sure many of you have already heard, on March 20th, Governor DeSantis made the announcement from downtown Fort Myers that he was going to be awarding $7 million to small business recovery. And $3 million of that was going to run through the nonprofit arm of the Florida Restaurant Lodging Association. We have a foundation that is intended for things just like this. And so disaster relief would be something that we can run through that 501c3. And what the other $4 million was going to be run through a new small business recovery impact program. But today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Florida Restaurant Lodging Association component. It's intended to help expand your ability as a restaurant or hotel to provide economic relief. So really looking at reopening costs and employee costs. Right now, we are in the process of waiting for the money to be transferred over to the FRLA, and we expect that within this week. And then within the next week and a half, we'll have the grant application process completed. So looking at less than 3 weeks from the date that the governor had made the announcement to get that out to the public. So I guess what I have to say is stay tuned. Our chamber will be will have someone on staff dedicated to not only getting this information out to you, but helping businesses throughout the impacted area complete this grant so that we can get as many grants, we can get as many applications in the hands of the decision makers as quickly as possible. The maximum will be $20,000. And from what I know is that it will be for costs that are current and forward. It will not be retroactive. So we'll have more information, like I said, Tam, within the next 10 days. And as that comes out, you'll be the first to get it. We'll distribute it out to all the impacted areas, and then we will have a dedicated phone line to assist folks with that grant application.
All right. That's great news, John. I know, you know, people are really looking for some assistance, and hopefully this will help them get their businesses reopened so that they can begin to try to recover economically. The dollar amount, you know, is never enough, but all things help. And, you know, this will have a major impact on some of these businesses. It's great news.
Absolutely. And Tam, I do want to say, for this particular grant, the maximum dollar amount will be $20,000. For the Small Business Recovery Impact Program, that will be up to $50,000. So, you know, we can look and see how some of that might overlap. Some of it, you know, we can direct people to the correct ones. And then, you know, when we're looking at hotels and restaurants, if you are an attraction, we will find a spot for you, whether it be in the Small Business Recovery Impact Program or the FRLA grant, you will be covered. And then with the Small Business Recovery Impact Program, some of the retailers also will be eligible for that. So as we get, like I said, Tam, as we get more information, we'll make sure it gets dispersed throughout the community as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. And as soon as we get it, we'll make sure we distribute it to our entire database to help with that, John, in any way we can. Appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. I guess, you know, John, I don't want to put you on the spot. People may have some questions. It sounds like it might be better to hold questions until the form comes out. But if anybody has a more general question, you're welcome to ask it to John. Star 2 to unmute yourself.
Yeah, Tam, if I don't know the answer to the question, I think it's important that I take notes so that I can get that up to FRLA to get the answers that we know are pressing.
Any questions for John? All right. It looks like this is a quiet morning. I'm waiting for some interaction here. all right, John. We appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much for the update, and appreciate what all you're doing to help make this happen, because I know our community desperately needs it. I guess, John, we should probably also give them a little update on our trip to Tallahassee, huh?
Well, that's putting me more on the spot than the other stuff. But, yes, last week we did go up to Tallahassee for Tourism Days. And, from a meetings perspective, it was one of the most productive trips we've had, in that we were able to meet with, I think, 6 or 7 legislators and really drive home the importance of, tourism in our tourism-based economy. And while I came away largely encouraged by that fact, we all know that there's currently a bill right now in the House that would push the funding of Visit Florida down to the county levels. And so you've not seen anything from the FRLA or Florida Chamber on that strategically. We believe that it is still way too early right now to make a call to action. We believe that there are some strategy at play. And so we're going to sit back and watch this play out before we make a call to action in large capacity. We've just been telling people that if you have a relationship with a senator or in the governor's office, that you please just let them know the importance of tourism to not only our industry, but to our state.
Yes, my sense is that they absolutely recognize the value of tourism. It's just a matter of, you know, some philosophy on taxation and other things. But at the end of the day, we are all watching this very closely. So rest assured that that's going on. Similar on our side, we've shared that information. Both it's been shared with the county commissioners and it's been shared with the Tourist Development Council. Obviously, neither of those boards have met since this issue came up, but anticipate that you will be hearing more from them after they have the opportunity to meet.
Absolutely. What I want to also say, Tam, is I want to thank you and the county staff for your attendance in last week's Tourism Day. You know, we had three people from Collier, three from Charlotte, and three from Lee, and I think that it makes such a big impact when we can go up and speak unified as a region, and we certainly showed that last week.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, we're going to completely shift gears, and now we're going to talk about the environment. I would like to invite Eric Milbrandt to give us an update on what we are all hearing about the sargassum mass that is supposedly heading towards the west coast of Florida. Eric, similar to everyone else, you'll have to hit star 2 to unmute yourself. We would love to hear from you on what we might expect about this massive seaweed.
Okay, I think I got it. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right, great. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with this group. I guess I would like to start off just by saying that we are all tied to water quality and some of these events that have been impacting us all, including hurricanes and algae blooms. Most recently, the red tide bloom looks like is dissipating, thankfully. It seems like it's run its course. I was out at sea last week for 6 days, and we were looking at a lot of samples and looking at a lot of water over that course of 6 days, and we didn't see any discolored water or any bloom areas in the region from St. Petersburg to Marco Island. So I know that's it's microscopic. A lot of times you can't really see it, but when it's visible, that means it's having a major impact on the ecology of the area, including resulting in fish kills and respiratory irritation and so on. I think there are some great tools out there to help guide people in terms of where to avoid if there is a red tide event, which I'm not here to talk about red tide. So I'll table that. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. So this sargassum is a brown seaweed, so it's a macrophyte, something that you can see. The fishermen amongst this group would recognize it because it's important habitat for juvenile fish and sea turtles. A lot of times, the dolphin in the Gulf Stream, the mahi-mahi, they will sort of hang around those areas, and that's what you target when you're fishing. It's a really important open ocean habitat, if you will. It drifts around, and is the name of the Southern Atlantic Ocean was named the Sargasso Sea because of the occurrence of the seaweed. Now, our ability to follow the ocean conditions from satellites has improved greatly in the last decade. One of those improvements has been looking at the size of the sargassum piles or the racks or the drifting seaweed in the Caribbean Sea. on the Caribbean Sea, just so to remind yourself, it's north of Venezuela, you know, south of Cuba, south of Haiti, south of a lot of the other Caribbean, Eastern Caribbean islands. And in that area, the sargassum has accumulated in the past, and every year it accumulates and then is distributed throughout the region. 2018 was a particularly large accumulation. This year, you probably have heard that there is the kind of the second largest accumulation. But I can tell you, after being here for 20 years and watching the satellite imagery and the way that the ocean currents operate, these large sargassum piles on the beach are not of concern to Southwest Florida. They will impact the Keys. They will impact Miami and the East Coast, Daytona Beach. A lot of the beaches will have seaweed that accumulates on them. But the way that the ocean currents work, they flow up through the Gulf of Mexico pretty far offshore, 200 miles, and they loop in a counterclockwise fashion. If you look up the Florida Loop Current and look at imagery, you can kind of see that it's far away from our shore. And the accumulations of this algae are particularly problematic in Mexico and Texas, and also could be in the Keys and the southeastern Florida beaches. But in the 20 years that I've been here, we've seen one occurrence of a sargassum a stranding event. I want to say it was around 2011. Those of you who have been around that long might have remembered it. It was a one-time event. We had west wind, which is another thing that's quite unusual. Our typical predominant wind is out of the east. So we had 7 days of west wind, which means wind was blowing from the Gulf of Mexico onto the Florida Peninsula, and we did have some accumulation, but again, it was a 3 or 4 day event, and then it was pretty much gone. In the past, we've seen accumulations of seaweed on the beach, and those are from local sources, not from the eastern Caribbean Sea. So that's, in my opinion, I know I can't predict. I don't have a crystal ball for the weather, but in general, it's very low probability that we will have any kind of sargassum type algae event on the beaches. Now, that's not to say we won't have some other red algae event in the future, but that's sort of my explanation. I'm happy to try and answer any questions if you have any.
Eric, I really appreciate that update and also the red tide update as well. I know everybody's been, you know, anxious about that as well. We finally start to get the beaches open and then, you know, here comes the red tide. As a friendly reminder to everyone on the call, if you go to the visitfortmyers.com website, if you slide down to the bottom, you will see a beach conditions listed at the bottom. You click on that. And when you go to that, it takes you to our page that lists information about the beaches, but also has information about red tide and those sources that Eric was referring to that track the red tide are linked there. So if you want to keep track of what's going on and aren't already subscribed to some of the listservs that provide that information, that's a good place to get it. Does anybody have a question for Eric? And again, Eric, thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us. All right. It is really a quiet day out there. It's the crickets today. But Eric, again, thank you for joining us. Appreciate the update and everything you do to keep us informed about what's going on with our environment. We, you know, it's critical. As you say, we are We are a community that is not only is our industry driven by our ecology, but you know, people are here because they want to be close to the water, and that's what makes this place so special.
Thank you for having me. And again, if anyone has questions, Tim, just you know how to get in touch with me. Email is good. I can try and answer or send you some other materials as far as maps and other links to seaweed or algae blooms.
Okay. Thank you so much, Eric. Okay, I'm going to quickly move on to the VCB update. I have several things for you, but I think it'll be quick. First, let's start with the most recent week of the STAR report. This would be the week of March 19th through 25th. Occupancy was 76.5%, ADR 239.12 for a RevPAR of $183. Last week, we received word that FEMA will extend the Transitional Sheltering Assistance Program, the TSA program, another 90 days. That's good news for those of you who might be hosting some of the displaced residents. So just wanted to share that. In terms of our sales team, so far this fiscal year, we've sourced 401 RFPs. And so far, that has led to 67 meetings booked this year. Following our marketing roadmap, recovery roadmap, this month, or well, I should say next month, we're right at the end of the month. April begins phase three of our recovery plan. And in this phase, we're really ramping up our marketing spend to increase consideration and drive visitation through the My Fort Myers campaign. There will be more about this in the newsletter you will be getting. I guess it'll go out on Monday. But some of our paid media placements for April include Priceline, Expedia, Pandora, Spotify, Bridal Guide, The Knot, Convention South, and North Star Meeting Groups, just to name a few. We are also back on the international side as well in Canada, Germany, and UK with placements on Expedia, Sojourn, and TripAdvisor. A reminder that we launched the Visit Fort Myers TikTok channel, so if you have not already done so, please follow along as we continue to post daily content promoting things to do and see in the county there, as well as our other social channels. The marketing team is in the process of updating the SunSaver Passport, which we plan on relaunching next month. If your business falls into the category of sip, play, shop, or dine, we want you to be involved. Please reach out to Vanessa Gomez on the marketing team, and her email address is vgomez@leegov.com. There's no cost to participate in the SunSaver Passport. So if you're interested in offering a deal, please reach out to Vanessa. The VCB has partnered with Mural Mosaics Global Roots Project and the Fort Myers Mural Society, and on Saturday at 10 a.m. in downtown Fort Myers, the America Connects Southeast Regional Mural Mosaic will be unveiled. This mural represents a collaboration of more than 1,500 artists across North America, and we are excited to see it get unveiled on Saturday morning. There will be a ceremony at 10 a.m. if you want to join in on that. We are also about to roll out the attractions marketing program and the events marketing program, the FY24 funding programs. It'll start with a webinar. All the details are posted on leevcb.com, but the events marketing program opens with a webinar on April 12th, and the Attractions Park Marketing Program opens with a webinar on May 17th. So for those who that applies to, please tune into those webinars. And then our visitor services team is gearing up to celebrate our tourism ambassadors at the annual Tourism Ambassador Appreciation Lunch on April 12th at the Westin. And we are really grateful that members of the BOCC, TDC, as well as the Port Authority will participate in that celebration. We are most grateful for the volunteers and all they do for us. And lastly, a little bit of good news. You may remember a few weeks ago I mentioned that the relighting of the Sanibel Lighthouse made the front page of the Orlando Sentinel on March 1st. The same journalist, Patrick Connolly, he had a positive article about our tourism recovery that made the travel section of the Sunday, March 26th edition of the Orlando Sentinel. So that is the VCB update. And with that, I'd like to open up the floor. If anybody has any questions they'd like to ask, feel free to hit star 2 and we will attempt to answer your questions.
Hello, this is Tim from the Best Western Plus Beach Resort.
Hey, Tim, good to hear your voice.
It's been a long 6 months.
Sure it has.
Going back to what John was saying with the FLRA, we've kind of been late in the game on getting into anything like that. How is that process? I'm pulling it up now and taking a look at the website. Is that basically all you have to do is go into the website and go under disaster relief and fill out the form?
John, are you still on? Tim, what I heard John say was that they expect the application to be available in the next 10 days or so. I don't think it's available yet. But it should be available in the next 10 days. And he also indicated that, the chambers were going to try to help people fill out those applications and navigate the process. But I don't believe the form's been released yet. So as soon as it is, John gets us the word, we'll absolutely get it out to all the industry partners and hopefully – I would assume it'll be a pretty simplified process, but, if it isn't, I know there will be plenty of people to help you.
Okay, that'd be great. Is there any other programs out there that I may have missed out on in the last 6 months that I, just been working on the property and my house and, I just haven't had the time to really delve into all these other programs. You probably shoot me an email and let me know on it, or I don't expect you to go through all of it over conference call.
Real quick, Tim, I don't know of any other grant programs. I do know that the Small Business Administration is doing recovery loans, and I'm sure you know all about that, but if you don't, we'll make sure we get that information to you as well, okay?
Yeah, we're dealing with the SBA now.
Okay.
Which was basically to get any more money than $2 million is actually an act of Congress. So it's been difficult.
Yes, sir. I have heard that from many people that the SBA process has been very difficult. The word I've heard is everybody gets told no to begin with, but don't give up. So
right.
I hope that's a good advice, but I know it has been a challenge. That's what I've been hearing you know, from a lot of people. So hang in there, Tim. We'll get through this. I know we will.
For anybody else out there that's dealing with it, I went through Byron Donald's Cape Coral office, and they were a great help with it, because we filed late because long story short, our lender called the loan on the hotel. So, and that was after the date of the that you could file. So they kind of got us in on the after the deadline date.
Well, I'm glad that Congressman was able to help you, Tim. Thanks for sharing that with everyone else, because I know, you know, they may have to. Some people might have to go that route as well. I think the hurdles have been high for all of us through this process, for sure. Anyone else have a question they'd like to ask, or information they'd like to share, or some criticism they'd like to give, whatever it may be? All right. Well, I appreciate you joining us today. You know, our attempt with these calls is to really keep the lines of communication between our organization and each one of you as open as possible. You know, if you have a question that you weren't comfortable answering today, please shoot me an email, tpigott@leegov.com. Happy to try to help you in any way we can. Our next call will be next Thursday at April 6th at 9 a.m. using all the same dial-in info as today. And, of course, the week after that, we'll have a TDC meeting, so we won't be having a call. But there is a call next week, and we look forward to you joining in then. Have a great week, and reach out if you need anything at all. Thank you.